Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Faced by Academy 2, Veil of Dreams, by C.N. Crawford and Alex Rivers. Narrated by Marissa Clay. Performed by a full cast. No matter how many times I hear the roar of a dragon, it always fills me with bone-deep terror. I shut my eyes and press my body to the cold concrete rooftop. On this mission, deep in enemy territory, it's hard to avoid the sound of dragon calls. I glance at the dark sky over Bristol, my breath misting. A few snowflakes dance in the air, but it's a moonless night, and I can't see the dragon.
That was a loud one.
They're all loud. Serana is somewhere on the streets below me, keeping to the shadows, avoiding the warm glow of the gas lamps. Fae soldiers are roaming around occupied Bristol, and we're doing our best to avoid them. Even fully glamored, we would draw suspicious stares, skulking in the shadows as we are. Somewhere nearby, our soothsayer Tana is drinking in a pub. She has the best assignment of the night. She's probably sitting by a fireplace, eating savory steak and ale pie. The cold air nips at my fingers and cheeks.
Tana? Anything in the tea leaves? It's freezing out here.
You can't rush tea. It takes time to drink it. If I rush it, I'll get a rushed reading. One second.
I fiddle with a conch in my ear, irritated by the ragged edges scraping my skin. Inwardly, I curse the Fae for ruining human technology, for invading France and England, for capturing Raphael and doing God's know what to him. My Raphael, who once waited for days in the woods for a family that he never saw again. Raphael, who told me he was desperate for me the way a starving man craves fruit. The thought of his sorrowful silver eyes makes my throat tighten. I miss him with a gnawing emptiness that makes it hard to think straight. I replay the final moment before the Fae captured him, mentally reviewing every detail. My thoughts spiral into obsession. I can't stop trying to figure out what I did wrong, how I could have stopped it, the tiny moments and decisions that could have led to a better outcome. What would the brutal Fae do to a high-ranking knight of Avalon Tower? I don't want to think about it, and yet, the thought rings in my skull in an endless loop. We have to get him back. If they manage to break him with torture, Avalon Tower's agents will start disappearing one by one, like pawns captured in a gruesome game of chess.
Nia? Hello? Are you listening?
I clench my teeth and try to focus on the street again.
I'm sorry. What?
I said that I see him now in the tea leaves. The commander is wearing a black cloak. His silver hair is streaked with black. And as the cards foretold, he's coming your way soon.
How long?
In 3 days.
What?
No, sorry. I got a bit of pie crust in the tea leaves. It's in about 15 minutes.
My muscles tighten and my pulse races as I glimpse armored Fae rounding the corner.
Serana, there are two guards a block away, armed with spears. Watch out as they get closer.
What is a block? That's an American thing.
Looks like maybe 300 feet?
What's that in meters?
I don't know. 100 meters?
I watch the armored Fae as they march closer beneath the golden light of the gas lamps. Despite their gleaming armor, they move with ease, their metallic eyes alert, searching for interlopers like me. Once, seeing Fae soldiers prowling England's streets was unthinkable. Now they're everywhere, marching between London's glassy skyscrapers, soaring on the backs of dragons above the coast. When they invaded the south, they'd quickly push the British army to the north. They now wage a bloody war in Scotland against the humans. Camelot is one of the few places in England still free from the Fae, but that's only because it's hidden with magic from the rest of the world. Tonight, we're here to find a way to attack them in their own territory, to surprise them in the heart of the Fae Kingdom, in Brasilianda itself. And while I'm at it, I plan to rescue Raphael too. I need him back so badly, I can taste it, like blood on my tongue. The problem is that Oberyn has sealed most of the portals in and out of the Fae realm, and the ones that still exist shift location. Even when found, they require a special key to unlock them, a key possessed only by the highest-ranking Fae. And that's exactly how we ended up here tonight, waiting in the shadows for a captain with a key.
There's no sign of him yet, but two armored Fae guards are marching closer to Serana's hiding spot. My fingers tighten, breath shallowing with tension. But as they pass, they don't seem to notice anything out of place. I push myself onto my elbows, teeth chattering from the winter chill that slips under my wool coat to bite at my skin. We still have a few minutes before our real target arrives.
You know where I'd like to be? Under a blanket, drinking a hot toddy.
Or jasmine tea.
No, a hot toddy with plenty of whiskey.
It's like you're reading my mind.
In a warm room, overlooking Lake Avalon.
I don't want to go back to Avalon Tower so soon. Rythe, Tarquin, and all the Pendragon assholes are out of control. And this human-only Iron Legion club they've just started is so gross.
I grimace, knowing what she means. Rythe is power-hungry and hates all Demi-Fae, me in particular. Tarquin, his nephew, is just as bad.
I can't stand their pure human lineage shite. Did I tell you that Tarquin described me as tainted and corrupted? I asked by what, and he said monstrous blood. The chinless twat. His family is inbred, and I'm the monstrous one because of too much genetic diversity.
Shh. Someone appears at the edge of the street, and I squint, trying to see him better in the murky light. Not our target. This man has red hair, and he lacks the brash arrogance of a military commander. Are you sure he's supposed to show up now?
The future is always shifting, but I'm as sure as I can be.
Time is running out for Raphael. This absolutely has to work, because if this fails, I'll be forced to get help from someone dangerous, violent, and deeply unhinged. My father, Mordred, who once broke into Camelot to go on a murder spree, then spent the next 1,500 years plotting more vengeance and isolation. He's a revenge-obsessed Fae Heathcliff, a Poe story come to life, and I don't trust him. Paintings all over Avalon Tower depict him sawing off women's heads. Call me crazy, but I think working with him might be off the table. I try not to dwell on the fact that his blood runs through my veins. My heartbeat picks up as the captain finally staggers into view two blocks away, his silver hair gleaming under the lamplight. He totters along the sidewalk. Serana, I see him. He's turned onto this street. Two blocks away. 200 meters, I guess? Get ready. He stumbles forward, and I hold my breath. He's big, but I've seen Serana take down men twice her size. The operation will be fast, and he lurches and turns. A large group of Fae soldiers turns the corner behind him. My heart skips a beat.
Wait! What's going on?
Serana can't look out without revealing her position.
He's not alone. There are 5 Fae with him. All military. All armed.
How drunk are they? I can probably take them.
Frustration sparks through me. For a moment, I consider telling her to risk it, but I quickly quash the thought. I'd never forgive myself if something happened to her.
Not drunk enough. They'll cut you down fast. There are too many of them.
One block away now. The Fae clapped the captain on his back, and one of them slings an arm around his shoulder.
We won't get another chance. You said it yourself, Nia. We have to do it tonight. I'm going for it. No! We need that key!
And she's right. We need it more than anything. Without a surprise attack on the Fae realm, they will destroy the British army and the Allied forces. And no one believes they'll stop with that. Oberyn will take over the rest of Europe. Maybe the entire world. My heart twists. If we don't fix this, Raphael will die in their dungeons.
Don't move. I have an idea.
I crawl to the edge of the roof. A rusty drain pipe lines the wall and runs 3 stories down to the pavement. I pull off my wool coat, then hoist myself over the edge of the roof, gripping the top of the pipe. I start to shimmy down. Dread blooms in my chest. A fall from this height would crush my skull. Frantically, I slide down faster, palms scraping along the rusty metal. With a lurch, the pipe disconnects from the wall. Fear slams into me. The entire thing pulls away from the stone, and I plummet, arms flailing. I grab at a window's ledge, sudden pain shooting through my fingers as I cling to it. But I manage to hang on, my heart thundering. I scramble and find a foothold on top of a lower window. I'm still about 15 feet above the street, but there's no way to climb down. No time either. Bracing myself, I make a jump for it and land hard on my feet. Ignoring the impact of the fall, I limp into the light of the gas lamps. I'm glamored to look like a full-blooded Fae, with dark steel eyes and sharply pointed ears. I wear the white dress of one of their healers. I walk toward the soldiers, glancing shyly at them and looking away whenever one of them catches my eye. One leers at me and whispers something to his friend. I walk past them, making sure I'm in the path of the captain. A few feet away from him, I pretend to trip and stumble to my knees. The captain rushes over to me without a thought, reaching out. I take his hand, thanking him in Fae. And then, I summon my powers. Two magical forces live inside me. One of them, Sentinel powers, lets me break through magical energies. The other lets me read minds. But when they entwine, strands of crimson and violet coiling together, they create something else, the power of mind control. As our fingers touch, I slip into his mind and his thoughts wash over me. The captain's name is Adoran, and he's drunk, celebrating good news he got from home. His wife gave birth to a healthy daughter. As soon as the Fae beat the human army, he will go back to Brasilianda to see her. They live in a cozy home in the capital city of Corbinel. I feel his unbridled joy at the idea. Him, Adoran, a father. Does she have his gold eyes? I force myself to block those thoughts as I push further into his mind. Sometimes mind control is difficult, but in this case, it's ridiculously simple. Adoran drank copious amounts of mead tonight, and his bladder is about to burst. I tug at that thought, whispering of streams and waterfalls and trickling water. His need to pee increases tenfold at my suggestions. He'll never make it back to his room in time. What he needs is a dark alley. I pull away from his mind and stand, curtsying. After I break into someone's mind, I'm always haunted by their thoughts, the ghosts of someone else's memories flitting around inside my brain. For a moment, I fantasize, anticipating the day I'll get to see my golden-eyed daughter, before I recall that I don't have a daughter. I sweep his thoughts from my brain and hurry away from the group. Already, the captain is telling his compatriots that he'll join them later. The poor man is bursting for a piss. Glancing back, I see him turning back toward the closest alley, the one where Serana waits for him. I walk away, and as soon as the sounds of the group fade around the next corner, I double back, hurrying toward the alley. Adoran is stumbling to the wall, already fumbling with his belt, as a figure unfolds from the darkness. Quick as a whip, Serana's arm twists around his neck, squeezing. Adoran kicks and buckles, then crumbles into her arms, unconscious. Nicely done. She lays him on the ground, smiling at me as she goes through his pockets.
There's some money here, and a letter.
It's from his wife.
That's nice.
She purses her lips.
No key.
It's circular. Maybe one of the coins in his purse?
I pick up his limp arm to examine a silver bracelet on his wrist. No, I'm betting this is it. Serana tries to turn it, looking for a clasp, but it doesn't look like it'll budge.
It's stuck on his wrist. I'm betting they welded it onto him to make sure it's not stolen. Oh well.
She unsheathes her long knife. Wait! I grab her arm. What are you doing?
Cutting his hand off.
You can't do that! My daughter was just born! My wife is waiting for me back in Corbinel! Serana stares at me.
Are you for real? Get a grip, Nia. You're not him. He's your enemy. He's here to kill us all.
His memories still whirl in my thoughts. I give her a beseeching look. She raises her hands in despair.
Fine. I'll try to take it off without cutting his hand, okay? But I might have to break one of his fingers. Does that offend your sensibilities, or would that be okay?
The memory of Raphael's beautiful face pushed Adoran's thoughts from my mind, clearing away the cobwebs. Do it now. I quickly step away, the thread between Adoran and me still too fresh to watch. A few seconds, Serana joins me. She rolls her eyes when I look at her.
He'll be okay, but he'll need a healer for that thumb. Happy, Nia?
Delighted. She opens her palm, holding the bracelet, and blood streaks her fingers.
This is it. We have it.
Check it for writing. The location and time for the portal should be inscribed on the key.
Serana points to some runes etched inside the bracelet.
There, it says, this is definitely Nair, and that letter is Mo.
I hold out my hand, and she drops it in my palm. It says Glen Nathan. That's St. Nectan's Glen in northern Cornwall. And here are the dates. I read and reread them, my heart plunging. No, that can't be right. Fuck!
What's wrong?
The portal closed 3 days ago.
Fuck! The key is worthless.
She's right. The portal is long gone. Our hope of finding our way to Brasilianda lies crushed. And I know what that means. I'll have to do the unthinkable, an act of pure and utter desperation. Madness, perhaps. Another secret I'll need to swallow, even for my closest friends. I need to talk to my father. The salty wind toys with my hair as our boat sails up the river. Up ahead, mist twines around golden towers, and dawn tinges the fog on the lake with rosy gold. The ancient, snow-frosted city of Camelot spreads out on the shore, crowned by the castle. No matter how grim the future seems, the sight sends warmth spreading through my chest. Avalon Tower, this feels like home. I am still clinging to a desperate hope that someone in MI-13 will be able to use this little bracelet. The alternative, seeking help from my father, is one of the most dangerous ideas I've ever entertained. According to a prophecy, those of his bloodline are fated to destroy Camelot, and Mordred has already tried. Centuries ago, he left Avalon Tower full of corpses, Arthur's and Guinevere's included. To protect Camelot from the prophecy, Raphael has pledged to slaughter all of Queen Morgan's descendants. Long ago, the Fae King Oberyn convinced the world that he was the true heir to Queen Morgan's throne. And since then, that's what everyone has believed. Raphael is sure he must kill Oberyn. But what exactly would my beautiful lover do if he learned that it was all a mistake? That I was the one on his kill list? Would he murder me too? Or would he sheathe his blade? Right now, no one knows the truth about me except my father. It doesn't matter how much I distrust the man. Our secret is a thorny vine that twines us together in a poisoned garden for two. No one else can come within these walls. It's an alliance I never wanted. While I'm mulling this over, Serana and Tana join me at the prow to stare at the gilded docks as we approach.
The city looks even more crowded than when we left.
I nod. More fugitives coming in all the time.
Even if we take in only the families of the Avalon agents, we'll be running out of space soon.
We don't have any other option. We can't let people's loved ones get captured. They could be used as hostages to turn agents.
Tana glances at me.
You haven't been eating enough, have you?
My appetite has all but disappeared. I'm not sure if it's the loss of Raphael or the secrets that stuff me so full. There's room for little else. When Raphael gets back, I'm going to eat a 7-course meal.
Don't be daft. You can't wait for that. You'll wither away.
I tighten my grip on the ship's rail. I will get him back soon, and I'm not in danger of starvation.
Stress does the opposite to me. That whole time I was waiting in the alleyway, all I could think about was apple fritters.
As we glide into the narrow canal, the mist thins. The dawn-kissed stone of Avalon Tower rises above us. Apple trees line the canal, covered in a light dusting of snow. The rising sun washes the crooked timber frame buildings in gold. Around the wharf, longshoremen and sailors bustle around the docks. I'm desperate to get moving, to jump into my next plan. I may be home, but I won't rest until Raphael is home too. The moment the ship is properly moored, I hurry down the gangplank, my breath puffing in the air. I stride rapidly through the cobbled streets, Tana and Serana falling behind me. I march as quickly as I can beneath stone archways and through crowded streets, headed for the castle. As the street opens up into a square, Avalon's tower walls loom over shops selling tarot cards and old books. Water streams from stony gargoyle heads in a fountain, and steam rises from the basin in the cold air.
Nia!
I turn, surprised to see Vivian, dressed in a green cloak, poking her head out of a shop door. The sign above her reads, "Enchanted Brew Coffee," in gold letters. Her blue eyes sparkle, and she beckons for us to follow her. She hated me once, threatened my life as soon as we met, and a few more times after that. Then she started to teach me everything she knows. And now, I'm deeply relieved to see her again. The three of us follow her down a narrow road next to the cafe. She turns to look back at us, and I'm surprised to see that there are dark circles under her eyes, and her platinum hair is tangled beneath the cowl. She usually looks like perfection.
I forgot you wake up stupidly early.
It's not the only reason I'm here. I knew you were coming this way, and I wanted to catch you as soon as you came in from the docks.
She cuts a furtive glance over my shoulder.
Do you have it?
I raise my hand to show her the bracelet.
Yes, but it's of no help. The portal closed days ago.
Her pale eyes grow wide, jaw clenching. Her nostrils flare, and for a moment, I fear she's about to throw her hot coffee at me.
That's not good.
Is there any chance we could use it to open a new portal?
She shakes her head.
Fine. We need a new plan. Should we get back to the tower to work on it?
No. That's why I was waiting for you here. We can't talk about anything at the tower right now. Let's go to Nightfall. They've opened it early for us. There are people waiting for us already.
The tavern? Why?
Realization hits me.
We can't talk around Rythe and the other Pendragons.
Exactly. They're getting worse. Rythe now wants all missions to go through him. I have almost no authority at this point, and neither would Raphael if he were here. Rythe has been disbanding Demi-Fey task forces. He says we need at least one Pendragon agent in each team. Otherwise, he says we're vulnerable to betrayal.
He can't do that, can he?
Until Sir Kay returns, the Seneschal is the top-ranked commander in Avalon Tower. I'm afraid it's within his authority.
I turn to my friends. They'll be serving breakfast soon at Avalon Tower. You two go back. I'll work on a new plan at the tavern.
Are you sure?
Sounds good to me.
Serana grabs Tana's arm.
It's Tuesday. They'll be doing scones, and Nia doesn't have an appetite anyway. Thanks, Nia. You're my favorite person ever. Come on, Tana. Let's go. I could eat my way through the stone walls of the tower at this point.
Vivian stares after her.
She didn't put up much of a fight. Come along.
She briskly leads me back into the town square and past the burbling fountain. We pass shops and pubs with painted signs and magical symbols. We sweep past a bakery, the mullioned windows stuffed with fresh bread, pies, and sugary marzipan confections. For the first time in ages, I actually feel hungry. Vivian's long legs carry her past the crowded shops at a fast clip. I wheeze, trying to keep up. My asthma worsens in the winter. I pull out my inhaler for two more puffs, and my breathing opens up a bit. As we reach another small town square, the Nightfall Tavern looms over it. Made of aged stone with a steeply pitched roof, the tavern almost looks like a Gothic manor house. Warm light beams from lead-framed windows, and esoteric symbols glimmer on the doorframe. When we get closer, I feel a familiar thrum of magic from within, a tug between my ribs. Naveen, the other sentinel, is in the tavern, waiting for me. As if hearing my thoughts, Vivian turns to me.
Naveen is trying to convince me to lead a coup and throw all the Pendragons out. Which, frankly, sounds tempting at this point.
Of course she is. Avalon's other sentinel has no patience for diplomacy, but a war with Rythe would be dangerous beyond belief. The Pendragon leader would probably rather help the Fae kill us all than give up his seat of power. I step inside behind Vivian. The tavern has crooked stone walls, rough-hewn wood columns, and cozy alcoves lit by candles. At this hour, the tavern is mostly empty, apart from a man in a cloak nursing a steaming cup of coffee by the fireplace. Across the room, I spot Naveen sitting at a round table in one of the corners, her red hair fiery in the candlelight. She beckons us closer, already impatient, and I slide into an empty seat beside her. Vivian pulls out a chair.
Tell her the bad news, Nia.
We have the key, but the portal closed days ago.
Well, fuck.
Do either of you have another idea? Anything? The disappointment on their faces is answer enough. Vivian drops her head into her hands. She's desperate to free Raphael, too. She's known him even longer than I have, and she depends on him. Now she seems lost. In Avalon Tower, it can be hard to find someone you can truly trust. So when you do find that person, you want to protect them with your life.
That just makes it all the more urgent. We can't have Rythe running the show. He'll destroy us all. Without Raphael or Sir Kay to hold him back, he'll take apart Avalon Tower stone by stone.
I am not about to start a mutiny right now. It would be a gift to Oberon.
Don't be an idiot. Rythe has already pitted us against each other. Pendragons and humans on one side, Demi-Fae on the other. And anyway, who said mutiny? I'm simply suggesting a slight shift in the command structure.
You said we should arrest Rythe and kill anyone who gets in our way.
I was brainstorming. If you have an issue with slaughtering the Pendragons, we can put a pin in that and circle back later. I'm open to alternatives. I mean, we have both sentinels on our side.
I don't want to join a mutiny.
All I'm saying is that if you both do come around to my plan, the other agents will join in.
Naveen folds her arms.
If we get rid of the Pendragons, we can invest every available resource into finding another way into Broceliande. It wouldn't hurt to kill the people stopping us from making progress. Think about it. We kill a few in a brutal fashion, and the rest will fall in line out of fear.
Vivian looks at me.
Okay, let's ignore the mob boss here for a second. We need Raphael back, and your psychic friend thinks we can free him. She's seen it in her card, and she said specifically that it's supposed to be you. So, if anyone has an idea, it would be you.
Before I have a chance to form a sentence, I see Vivian's eyes flick up over my head, and her jaw clenches.
Well, what do we have here?
My skin chills, and I swivel in my chair to see Rythe Pendragon standing in the doorway, arms folded.
Hi, Rythe. Grab a seat. We were just about to order breakfast.
No thanks. I'll stand.
As he walks closer, his gaze slides to me.
I see that our illustrious sentinel has returned from her mission, but for some reason she decided to stop in a tavern instead of reporting to me in Merlin's Tower.
I ran into Vivian by sheer luck, and she's the one who sent me on the mission. His blonde mustache twitches, and he adjusts his scarf, probably to remind us who he is. The scarf is embroidered with the Pendragon insignia, a shield with a crown and a severed head in the center. He lifts his chin.
I'm the Seneschal, lest you forget. Everyone should report to me.
Is that right? Because I'd rather report to a drainage pipe.
What was that?
She said she likes to report to the manager types, like you.
Right. Good. I wouldn't want to have to court-martial anyone for insubordination.
Fantastic. Well, if that's all, I actually do need to finish hearing Nia's report.
As do I. So, Dame Nia, did you manage to find a key into Broceliande?
Reflexively, I let my sleeve drop a bit, hiding the bracelet. Unfortunately, no. The portal is already closed.
Perhaps your next mission requires the experienced hand of a Pendragon officer, like my niece, Ginevra, or my nephew, Tarquin.
Her team included three knights, one of them with Avalon steel, which is more than any of us have.
And yet they failed. I think we need to disband that particular team. It's not working out.
The portal would be closed no matter who went on that mission.
We have a new policy enacted as of today. Every team we send into the field will contain a human agent, preferably a Pendragon. We deem this safer for everyone.
Are you suggesting we will be safer with humans who move sluggishly and have zero magical skills to help us?
Furthermore, all newly appointed Demi-Fey agents need to go through a mandatory 3-month training course, in which they'll learn more about what it means to assimilate into human society, what our traditional human values are. You are, after all, living in our world, and we have welcomed you here, but you must learn our ways.
I stand, stunned. Rythe glances at me, and for a moment I think I see a flicker of fear cross his face. I'm from L.A. I don't need to learn about the human world.
Be that as it may, the moment we start making exceptions for one person, it's going to be chaos. I'm afraid we will be taking a hard line on this.
I stare at him, and I notice his hand slide almost imperceptibly toward the pommel of his sword. During the final trials, I mind-controlled him. Since then, he's made sure to stay as far away from my touch as possible. His obvious fear is a little satisfying, but it's probably not helping my situation. Well, I'd better get to work learning about humans, I guess. Though I suspect I know a great deal more about normal human behavior than you do, Sir Rythe. Furious, I stride out of the tavern. The morning sun has risen higher in the sky, and I blink in the light. My heart thuds, and my face is hot with anger. I now understand what Naveen was talking about. Rythe is trying to kneecap the Demi-Fey until we're no longer a functioning part of Avalon Tower. Maybe Naveen is right. Not about the slaughter, but... I catch sight of a person with blonde, gleaming hair marching toward me between ramshackle stone shops, and my heart sinks. Great. The only person who could make this day worse. His pinched nostrils flare as he grins at me.
Hello, hello. None other than the illustrious Dame Nia. The Avalon Steel, or so they say.
Fuck off, Tarquin. I'm not in the mood. He puts his palm on his chest, his expression hurt.
First of all, it's Sir Tarquin now. And is that any way to talk to someone who looks after the safety of your loved ones?
My stomach flips as I try to figure out what he means. Is he talking about Raphael? Behind him, a woman runs toward me, waving and smiling like a maniac. My pounding heart registers her identity before my brain does. For a second, I stare at the familiar face so out of place here. Large lips overdrawn with red liner, bleached blonde hair growing in dark at the roots, thin frame and gaunt cheeks.
Nia!
My jaw drops for a few seconds before I manage to find my voice. Mom? Guilt. Once I get past the shock, guilt washes over me. What do others feel when they see their parents after a long time apart? Love, probably. Connection. Familiarity. Excitement. For me, it's just a black hole of guilt. All the letters I should have written her but didn't. All the times I didn't miss her. The relief that she was finally far away and I no longer had to look after her. She walks toward me, her bony arms outstretched, and I can't avoid noticing the slight stumble in her step, that unfocused stare. It's 6 in the morning, and she's either drunk or high. Maybe both. She pulls me into a hug, all jagged angles. The familiar odor of cigarettes and alcohol envelops her. She's wearing an expensive suit that I haven't seen her wear in years, with a silky cream shirt beneath it. But now, the clothes hang off her skeletal frame.
Oh, Nia, I've missed you so much, my dear girl.
I missed you too, Mom.
Did you? Last time you wrote me was over a month ago.
I stare at her, unable to make sense of her appearance in this place. What are you doing here? Her eyes widen, and she touches my arm.
Well, this lovely gentleman, Sir Tarquin, said I was in danger because of the European war with the Fae. He said that because you work here, the Fae might want to abduct me for leverage. He paid for me to come all the way to Camelot. I had my own suite on the ship. Honey, I didn't know you had anything to do with this Fae war.
I glance at Tarquin, because my role here is supposed to be secret. He's looking down at his nails.
Ah, well, yes, the thing is, most of us were raised here in Camelot, so our family is safe. For outsiders such as yourself, who knows what could happen? I was, of course, only trying to help.
I hold my mom by the elbows. You were never in danger. There was no way they could have found you all the way in California.
In the war, Nia!
She shakes her head.
I really never could have imagined. You were always so scared of taking risks, so timid. Everything was always such a big worry for you, always fretting.
No, Mom, I had a normal number of worries. I just didn't want her lighting the sofa on fire again, or driving high as a kite and crashing her car into an abandoned Pizza Hut, or she pulls out a cigarette.
Tarquin told me you're the transportation. I realize that being a driver isn't the most glamorous role, but surely you could have told me about it in a letter.
That's not my title. I can feel my face flushing. I'm torn between wanting to brag about my Avalon Steel and hating myself for even caring what she says in front of Tarquin. She smiles a little too broadly, glancing back at Tarquin.
Young Sir Tarquin told me your job was to get people where they needed to go.
Mom, can you give me one second? I want to thank Tarquin for bringing you here, and then I'm all yours.
Of course. He's a perfect gentleman. You should be very grateful.
I walk over to Tarquin, fantasizing about smashing my fist into his thin nose. What the hell do you think you're doing?
Honestly, I thought you'd be happy.
He waves at Mom and smiles.
All the outsiders have been bringing their families into Camelot for safety, but you've somehow neglected to bring your own mother.
She was halfway across the world. She's not in any danger, or at least she wasn't until you brought her here. You know that.
Oh, Dame Nia.
Still smiling, he leans forward.
I'm going to enjoy introducing your train wreck of a mother to everyone in Camelot. I want everyone to see exactly why someone of your rotten pedigree does not belong here at all. That's the thing we always seem to ignore, isn't it? when we pretend we're so accepting of the demi-fae. Because the fact is, your mother shagged one of those monsters, didn't she? You're not just half corrupt, you're entirely corrupted. The child of a beast and a slag, that's the breeding of your kind. And we're all fine with it now, aren't we, here in these accepting new times?
After days of sleeplessness and lack of food, and then the conversation with Wraith, I'm about to lose my temper. I want to bash his pasty face in. But of course that's what he wants, some way to prove that I can't control my beastly fey impulses. He flutters his fingers at my mother with a fake smile.
Nice to meet you, Miss Melisande.
Oh, call me Brandy. Mrs. Melisande is my mother.
Trembling with rage, I watch him walk away, then turn to face Mom. Where are you staying?
Mr. Pendragon found me a cute place a few minutes from here. It's a bit small, to be honest, but he assured me it's only temporary.
Okay, did you have any breakfast?
I don't eat breakfast, Nia. Have you already forgotten? I know it's been a long time, but I didn't think you'd forget everything about me so soon.
I didn't forget you, Mom. Of course she doesn't eat breakfast. Why waste the calories on food when you can simply use them to drink? I return to her and put my arm around her shoulder. Let me walk you back to your place, then. It's a bit cold for you to be outside right now.
I was hoping you'd show me around.
Maybe later. I have a job to do.
You need to drive someone?
I grit my teeth. Naturally, Mom can't know what I really do. Not exactly. Something else. As we walk, she loops her arm through mine.
Nia, if you want to land a nice man like Tarquin, you really need to dress nicer. There's dirt all over that cloak. When did you start wearing cloaks? It's a bit strange, I think. And it covers up your figure. You want a clean, sleek line without pockets.
Mom, Tarquin's not... There's no way in hell!
Oh, honey.
She pats my hand.
I know you think you're not good enough, but he obviously cares about you. Do you really think he'd go through all the trouble of getting me here if he weren't interested in you romantically? Now you just have to lure him in. He introduced me to his cousin, Ginevra, and she's beautiful, you know. She looks like I did when I was your age. She might be able to tell you where to shop.
Oh, gods. Ginevra hates me as much as Tarquin does, possibly even more. Everything about this is a nightmare. Being with my mother suddenly peels away the layers of confidence and worth I've found here. Underneath, I'm still the girl who would never be good enough. Let's not talk about clothes right now. What about you? How was your trip?
Long, but it was nice to have the suite.
She smooths her shirt.
You know, I was in this area about 25 years ago. Not Camelot, but Cornwall. Tintagel, I think. Lovely place. Great fried scallops.
Was it 27 years ago, perhaps? She frowns at me.
How did you know that?
Just a lucky guess. I'm 26. I was conceived when my mom was in Cornwall.
You could have sent for me, you know. You live in a castle now? You left me in that roach-infested apartment so you can live in a castle? They were trying to evict me when Sir Tarquin sent for me.
Sorry, Mom.
You're my only child. I've always said that the best thing I ever did, my proudest achievement, was raising you. But I guess parenting doesn't guarantee a child's loyalty. Well, fine. This is where I'm staying.
She waves at a two-story white stucco building with dark wood beams that crisscross the front. A sign hangs from a steep, gabled roof, Branwen's Inn. It looks nice enough. Leaded glass windows overlook flower pots, and the smell of coffee and baked bread wafts through the air. I was afraid that Tarquin would place her in the worst location in town, but that's not what he's planning. He wants her nearby and accessible so that he can introduce her to all his friends and acquaintances, to prove that all demi-fae come from a twisted, dysfunctional background and that none of us should be here. But I'm not worried about anything Tarquin's shitty friends might say. I'm worried for my mother's safety and my sanity.
You know...
She tucks my hair behind my ear.
You don't even look happy to see me.
I smile at her. Oh, Mom, of course I'm happy to see you.
At least my training as a spy has improved my ability to lie. I sit on the bed in our room, sipping chamomile tea. In the dark night outside, rain drums against our window panes. Warm lamps light up our space. Serana stands beside me. She tosses a throwing knife against the wall.
Do you know what? This is way more fun than practicing my glamoring magic.
In the adjacent bed, Tana is muttering to herself. Tarot cards are spread on the bedsheets, and 5 empty cups of tea are piled on her nightstand. There are flowers in her dark braids, and she wears a bright yellow dress. She looks a million times better than I do. Or so I imagine. I feel faded and worn. When I was a teenager, I had a Joy Division shirt that I wore all the time and washed every week. By the end, it was tattered and almost translucent, more like a memory of a shirt than an actual shirt. That's how I feel right now, a threadbare version of myself, hardly recognizable. The sense of warmth I had at coming home to Avalon Tower has already turned to ice. Here, in the tower's gothic walls, a cold cloud of suspicion hangs over every conversation, frosting the atmosphere. My trio was gone less than a week, but that was all it took for mistrust to fester. In that week, tensions between the Iron Legion and Demi-Fay have escalated, becoming unbearable. Wherever I walk, humans whisper and stare at me. Some give me dirty looks. Most of them have probably already signed the Iron Legion pledge to inform on us. With most of the elite knights fighting in Scotland, there are few Demi-Fay left here to band together. We're outnumbered. I try to imagine how Raphael would handle it, but I can't exactly picture it. Over lunch today, my mom told me a story about attacking an accountant with a high heel after he insulted her at a party. As I listened to her ramble, my mind raced about Mordred. As insane as it seemed, I was leaning toward allying with him.
Damn it!
What is it?
The streams of time are entangled. They crisscross every which way. Stars misaligned, omens misread.
Tana's hands are shaking. Serana turns to face her.
Sorry. What?
Tana looks up from a reading.
The future is fucked. Never mind. Go back to what you were doing. It's fucked, but I need to find out more.
Serana, can we have some quiet? I have a headache.
Because you haven't slept normally in months, and you haven't eaten normally. Do you know what you need to do? You need to channel your aggression like I do.
She holds a knife out to me by the hilt. Reluctantly, I grab it from her. She points to a spot on the floor by my bed.
Stand here.
Too tired to argue, I obey.
Now, imagine that target is the face of someone you really hate. Can you see it?
Tarquin.
Good. Go for it.
I can almost see his thin face before me, the long nose and flared nostrils, the thin lips. Gritting my teeth, I toss the knives, one after another in rapid succession. They hit 2 feet below the target.
Good on the aggression, except you're supposed to aim.
I did. I imagined his face. I nod at the notches in the stone where the knives hit, right at crotch height, and I hit the target. Serana stares at me, her mouth open.
Right. Okay. Not sure if I'm impressed or concerned.
All right, hang on. Am I losing my mind? The cards don't make any sense. I've checked the stars, but the sky is too cloudy for a proper reading.
What about the crystal ball?
Absolutely not. It's tacky. You know what I need? Goat entrails. One can really see the future clearly in proper entrails.
My eyebrows shoot up. Tana, I swear, if you start spreading goat entrails on your bed, I'm transferring rooms. Yeah?
It's me.
Darius. I hurry to the door and yank it open. He smiles from the doorway, holding a dinner tray with a silver dome. He saunters in, sets the tray on a desk, and gives me a hug.
I missed you, ladies.
I thought you were in Scotland! Serana walks over and grabs him in an aggressive bear hug.
Serana, you're crushing me. Ugh.
He disentangles himself. Going to the bed, he leans over and kisses Tana on the cheek.
I was in Scotland. They sent me here to report to command and get some supplies, but I have to return in 2 days.
How is it there?
Oh, bad. We're being pushed back. I don't know how much longer we can hang on. There's been talk about retreating to Ireland. They're even worried Oberon could breach Camelot's magical defences and destroy Avalon Tower. The prophecy of Queen Morgan could happen in our lifetimes.
I'm sure that's not the case.
Why?
It's very hard to keep this secret from them. I eye the tray. Just hopeful. Did you bring dinner?
Oh. I didn't want to eat in the dining hall. It's full of the fucking Iron Legion.
It's really hostile, isn't it?
He pulls the dome off the tray.
Well, I brought extra.
Underneath, there's a basket of fresh bread rolls with steam pouring off them and a plate full of sliced blue cheese.
Is that Stilton?
Serana is already reaching for it.
Stop!
Tana leaps from her bed.
Stilton is almost as good as goat entrails.
You're wasted here. You should be in marketing. Stilton, almost as good as goat entrails. Tana grabs the plate, staring at it.
I don't eat it, but I can see the future in cheese, especially if it's ripe like this.
I'm just going to have a little nibble.
Serana grabs a piece and pops it in her mouth.
Serana!
Tana yanks the cheese plate away.
You just ate the fate of the Italian military.
Serana's eyes widen guiltily.
Sorry.
Darius hands Serana a roll.
Have some bread.
Tana stares at the cheese as she carries it to her bed.
It's the same as the cards. The war cannot be won here. It must be won in Broceliande. But when I try to find the way there, it just shows the same figure, and I can't make any sense of it.
Dread chases down my spine. I think I already know who the figure is. A man who has lived alone for centuries, twisted with fantasies of revenge.
And what figure is that?
In the cards, he appears as the Emperor.
Her gaze flicks to me.
That showed up in your reading too, remember?
Must be Oberon.
No, I always see Oberon as the reversed King of Swords. Tyranny.
I swallow hard. Weird. Her dark eyes shift to me.
Any idea who the Emperor might be?
Maybe Sir Kay?
Right? He certainly thinks of himself as an Emperor.
I know who he is. They turn to stare at me. When you gave me the reading, you told me he represents one of my parents.
Oh, right. Your father, I thought. Do you know who he is?
It turns out my father lives on the lost island of Avalon.
Hang on. Your what lives on the lost what of the what?
That island sank. Like Shalott. The war between Merlin and Mordred drowned all the islands in the lake.
No, Avalon is still there. I found it 2 months ago. After Raphael was captured, I felt something calling to me from the mist. I thought it was a Lady of the Lake thing. I ended up in a boat, sailing through the fog. It was hidden by a veil, but I could get through that with my sentinel powers, and I found the lost island of Avalon. It didn't sink. It's just hidden by a veil. And my father lives there. He's been there for 1,500 years. He said he could help me save Raphael. They stare at me, mouths agape.
You never said anything. Why did you never—
It's Mordred.
Mordred? As in Mordred Kingslayer? The man who slaughtered hundreds of people in this very tower?
That's the one.
That's impossible!
Tana stares at me.
No, that makes perfect sense. It explains everything I see. He is the way to Broceliande. He can get you there.
Oh, hang on. Are you telling us that you're Oberon's sister?
We're not related. In fact, Mordred hates Oberon. Mordred is Queen Morgan's son. Oberon is Merlin's son. They were on opposite sides of the war for Camelot. The court of Merlin versus the court of Morgan. Merlin's court won out, and he trapped Mordred on the island and hid it behind a veil. Nimue then trapped Merlin, and their son Oberon claimed the throne for himself, using his magic to convince the world it was always his.
So, Mordred could be an ally?
Not really. He still wants to destroy Avalon Tower. In return, he said he would help me free Raphael. And I know it sounds completely fucking insane because he wants to kill us all, but I want to take him up on his offer. Maybe I'd risk destroying this place for Raphael. A thorny silence settles over the room. Serana distractedly picks up another piece of cheese and takes a bite from it.
So he can never leave the island?
Once a century, he can get free for one day. Which means my mom knew him less than a day, but never mind. That's not important.
Maybe you can accept his offer. If he can't get out for another, what, 73 years, then how much harm can he do? Maybe you could just play along with his bargain.
Play along?
You're a bloody spy, an Avalon Steel spy. Mordred is an asset. Tell him you will help him destroy Avalon Tower, and then don't. Manipulate him. Use him. Get him to open the way to Brasiliander so you can save your gorgeous boyfriend, and then, when he wants you to fulfill your part of the bargain, you just fuck off. Or kill your dad, whatever.
You're not worried about the prophecy?
Oh, what I see now is that Mordred is the only way forward into Brasiliander. He's not lying about being able to help you. We'll have to worry about the prophecy later. Burn that bridge when we come to it. One thing at a time, yes?
Serana nods.
It sounds unhinged in a way, but we are absolutely running out of options. We're running out of time here to save Raphael, and with the way Rhyth is acting, I'm sure he doesn't want Raphael back. In fact, I bet he actively stands in the way of Raphael's return. I think if things keep going in the way they are, he'll be imprisoning all of us Demi-Fae as corrupted traitors.
My breath quickens. Suddenly, I'm filled with energy. I'm going to get Raphael back. And for the first time in a while, I feel electrified with optimism. I'll go there tonight, see what Mordred has to say.
Yeah, I didn't want to mention it before, but there's a small problem. There's an Iron Legion cadet downstairs in the Astella Atrium. He has one of those coat of arms badges they wear to make themselves important. This one looks like he's on guard to see if anyone specifically from this room is going anywhere. He's keeping watch on the Demi-Fae.
They've been following me around ever since I got here.
Same here.
I turn, staring out at the rainy night. Looks like I'll be sneaking out the back way then.